Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Everyuth Industries Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Everyuth Industries India's Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Suomoy Saha, Managing Director, and Mr. Vivek Agrawal, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer. We will begin the call by sharing the standard disclaimer. Some of the statements that may be made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed disclaimer in this regard is available in the press release document, which has been circulated to you earlier and also available on stock exchange websites. I would now like to invite Mr. Saha to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishid, and a very warm welcome to all of you on our second quarter earnings call. We at Everyuth are custodians of two very valuable assets: the well-loved Everyuth brand and the formidable distribution infrastructure. It is the responsibility of the management team that these assets are used wisely to provide value for all our stakeholders and deliver growth in each of our business segments. On this call today, we will try to outline the underlying opportunities across the businesses and provide an update on where we stand. In terms of financial parameters, we are stable, and our margins have stayed healthy. We also remain optimistic for the balance of the year. Profits have trended well, aided by favorable input costs. But before I share thoughts on the business segments, I wish to cover the highlights of some of our key strategic initiatives. As mentioned in our earlier calls, the RTM exercise was kicked off by us to streamline our distribution processes, to deliver higher levels of efficiency, and also become more contemporary. Such an elaborate exercise that encompassed the entire process of selling came with its share of challenges and risks. We made these challenges over the past few quarters, including the one under review, but now the revised system seems to be on the cusp of yielding results. We expect that the performance gains will become apparent in the coming quarters. Just as we modernized our traditional general trade channels, we also focused on developing alternative channels where our offerings are seeing traction, like in modern trade, e-commerce, quick commerce, and electrical outlets. Communication is a core aspect of our growth aspirations. We have set our A&P spends at a pace for consistent consumer engagement. As a consumer-facing company, our chief endeavor is to bring quality offerings that are in tune with the times and engage our consumers with this. Our strategy involves a combination of advertising and BTL promotions in order to maintain saliency of the brand and a leading presence in the marketplace. We have initiated steps to build a manufacturing facility for alkaline batteries in order to support growth aspirations. This is going to be the only alkaline facility in the country at this time, and we aim to drive strong gains on quality and cost with control over the production chain. Our desire to be an innovative brand will draw support from this investment. In order to derive comprehensive benefits of cost and efficiency, we are planning for this facility to be a multi-product facility, and eventually other categories will also be produced here. At this point, let me cover some thoughts on our business segments. Commencing with batteries, despite some shifts in the market, we are pleased to have retained our robust 53% market share in batteries, underscoring our ongoing leadership in a highly competitive segment. The overall segment saw modest contraction, primarily arising out of weak demand from the rural segment. However, our diversification within battery types showed positive momentum. Our alkaline battery segment saw an impressive 62% growth in value, This demonstrates a promising trend as consumer preferences gradually shift, and we are well positioned to meet this demand with the quality and reliability of our products. The marketing traction that our alkaline range has seen has been good. This has emboldened us to take the bold step of putting up the manufacturing facility that I referred to a little earlier. Also, the headroom to grow is vast as India catches up to the global trends in terms of per capita usage. In the carbon zinc category, which still services the bulk of the country's domestic demand, we are the de facto leaders in both volume and value. This gives us the right to play and win. Batteries being the dominant contributor to our top line and margins, naturally all possible efforts are made to create strong leverage in this space. Let me now come to flashlights. I am glad to share that the pace of degrowth in the battery-operated category has abated to single digit. It may be recalled that the level of degrowth was at a much higher number at a year ago. On the other hand, the rechargeable segment is maintaining growth, as has been the trend in this category. The battery-operated flashlights have a strong correlation with monsoon. Although not very uniform, the monsoon this year was somewhat abundant, thereby translating into healthy demand within the target market in rural settings. The rechargeable flashlights grew on the back of unique and innovative models introduced by us. Introduction of new models with rich feature functionality by our design group as per identified consumer needs is the core of this business. Two new launches during the quarter appealed to the people's imagination significantly. One was called the Siren, with a panic button for the vulnerable at times of distress. Beamlight is the other one, with a differentiated offering designed for farmers who need to keep night vigil to protect their crop. Backed by these tailwinds, the category had a decent 16% revenue growth during the quarter and 7% for the half year. We intend to deliver a healthy growth for the full year and maintain this momentum. As the leader in the organized space, we aspire to balance presence in both battery-operated and rechargeable categories. I move forward to the lighting business now. The industry continues to witness price erosion in the consumer segment, particularly in bulbs and battens, though at a somewhat reduced pace, but still pronounced compared to the same quarter of last year. We have now a respectable lineup of SKUs in the retail market, comprising of not only bulbs and battens, but also in emergency lamps, luminaires and accessories. We are under-indexed in the consumer luminaire space, and our focused attention is now being provided to see higher traction. While we managed to grow volumes in most product types, the overall top line for the business remained muted on account of price erosion. We are confident of seeing significant growth coming in the coming quarters, as the base of quarter three last year onwards already captures a very significant part of the price erosion. The BU team is also focusing on the segment of professional luminaires catering to institutions. Professional luminaires is the higher growth segment of the lighting market, and we are under-indexed there, as we inherently tend to focus more on the consumer side. However, this being our new thrust area, we will make amends to that. We have assembled a team with the requisite expertise and with the necessary connect to this market. The results have started coming in, and though from a small base yet, this segment is showing good growth. In summary, lighting is an area of focus, and we expect to exceed the year on satisfactory level of growth. I want to bring a quick review of the quarter's results. We reported revenue of 362.4 crore during quarter 2 relative to 364.9 crore previously. I have already explained the dynamics from the respective categories contributing to this revenue. While the top line is muted, EBITDA and PAT stood strong, with significant improvements over the previous year. EBITDA reached 13.2% and 13.7% of revenue for the quarter and the half year respectively. Similarly, PAT stood at 8.1% and 8.3% respectively. All three business verticals, including lighting, had positive EBITDA for the half year, with batteries at 7%. and lighting at 3.6% of the
respective. You lost your audio in between when you said about batteries.
AMP sales for the quarter stood slightly higher than those of the previous years, but as per plan. Manpower cost also showed an uptrend at 12% for the quarter as compared to 11.3% of the previous year. This is on account of investments made in manpower, particularly for the lighting segment and more specifically for professional luminaires. This will get neutralized as we start seeing revenue growth in the forthcoming quarters. These impacts were softened by initiatives to contain costs in other aspects of the operation and favorable RM prices. At this point, I would like to share our thoughts on the outlook for the year. The year is shaping up by and large as expected with an improved growth outlook for the second half. In batteries, we are fully geared to charge ahead with our zinc carbon and alkaline offerings across distribution channels, suiting requirements of consumers across price points and needs. One should expect stable performance relative to the past year as we exit the year given the muted situation in the carbon zinc space. The margin should hold as we are covered for our requirements on key input materials. Flashlights should deliver positive growth on the back of differentiated SKUs that we have launched. Similarly, we shall see healthy accretion to growth in lighting given the many initiatives which I have mentioned earlier. Overall, we see a year of modest growth for the full year, but exiting the second half at far more enhanced levels with a positive impact on margins. With that, I would like to invite you to pose your queries, which we will be more than happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Vallum Capital Advisors. Please go ahead. Priyank, may I request to unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please? Priyank, Chheda, if you can hear us, can I request to unmute your line and proceed with your question? The line for the participant dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Avi Jain from AJ Associates. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, I have three questions. The first question is that since you're saying that, you know, our price erosion started from Q3 of last year and you are seeing or you're hoping for an uptrend going forward in the following quarters, do you see that the revenue run rate will be maintained at the 350-360 kind of a level for Q3 and Q4, which obviously dropped last year significantly due to the price erosion?
So, generally our quarter one and quarter two are the big quarters. Quarter three and quarter four are generally sub-350 quarters. So, as we have indicated that we will have a growth momentum, so we'll try to be closer to that, but it may not be equal to the quarter one and quarter two numbers.
But it will definitely be better than Q3 and Q4 of FY24, right?
Definitely. Because that is why we said that all the exercises, RTM, identification, all has been done. And that is the growth momentum will come from H2.
Second is more of a hygiene question on the financials. Now, if you look at your PBT, given that the revenue was flat year on year, and if you look at your all your expense items, more or less they were fat or, you know, there were some increases, for example, our expenses, etc. The EBITDA growth has predominantly come from the increased, you know, end of period inventory that we have. If you look at your change in inventory, because that is a big negative number, hence, you know, the EBITDA is higher. So I just want to understand that. I understand that it was a flat quarter as compared to last year, and, you know, PBT would not have increased. And whatever PBT increase is coming is from the increased inventory that we have at the end of the year. In Q3 and Q4, what are the things or what are the levers that you're seeing which will actually, you know, generally help in increasing the EBITDA margin? Because this EBITDA margin is not a real EBITDA margin increase per se. This is just end of inventory increase because of which the EBITDA is increased.
I did not get your point. You know, why don't you think that is a real margin?
So if you see our PBT, right? All our expenses, all the line items, they all are either flat or increased. Now there is only one line item which is the change in inventory of finished goods, right? Which is a minus 16.2 crores. That figure, because it is negative 16 crores, that is adding to your PBT. If you take your ending inventory would not have increased. It is on account of end of period inventory increase, right? Because of which it is reflecting through in the PBT.
So how do you
think? Cost lever has reduced. So year on year, I don't see any improvement in any cost lever. Your material cost is same. Finance cost is down a bit. Employee cost has increased by almost 7-8%. Other expenses are up by almost 10%. So what cost optimization, where is it showing? I just want to understand that.
I think your reading of the P&L has to be the changes in the inventory part of cost of material only. It is not that year-end inventory, because what happens, you have to see the entire change in inventory along with the cost of material as well. Because sometime you consume from opening stock, sometime you may consume the lesser from opening stock. So isolation change in the inventory is not real reflection of what is the cost saving. It is not the cost saving that whatever differential you are saying quarter two that this year 16 crore, last year 5. You have to see entire three line item of cost. Cost consumed, material and the credit line. All three together actually give you cost. This is why we maintain that this period the profitability improvement is mainly because of the favorable material cost we have. Because this period our zinc prices, especially which is a key dog product for us, is having a much better pricing. That is why we got a margin improvement there.
So basically, just so the RTM, the optimization that were to be achieved from the RTM, obviously this is not, that was not probably kicked in quarter two, given that other expenses and employee benefits for the sector are, you know, still elevated. Do you see that you know the optimization from RTM will start kicking in Q3 and Q4, or do you still think that there are some few quarters away from that?
I've already told that, you know, from the Q3 onwards, the benefit will start ripping on. And of course, Q3 starts showing that, and Q4 will have the full scale here. So H2 will have the benefit and what intended objective of the RTM exercise.
And which I might just add, that is not to sort of look at lower cost, but increase efficiency, which results in growth. When we started, we never started with the objective of reducing cost. We started with the objective of improving efficiency, as a result of which we can spark growth. And that is what is going to happen from quarter three.
This is the final question. On the pricing in terms of the lighting segment, right? As a retail customer, I have done certain market deep dives. And I understand that, especially in terms of tube lights, EverReady's pricing is almost 20 to 30% lower than other competitors like, you know, Havells, etc. So are you still in, you know, market share? Are you still, this pricing is still because you want to gain market share? And do you think that you can increase your pricing in the near term, or do you think that it will still take some time for you to, you know, charge a more favorable pricing, at least in terms of lighting? Because that is where we are seeing industry where there is a price erosion.
So, you know, you are right to the extent, the percentage is not correct. You are right to the extent that Philips and Havells, they sit at the highest level on pricing. But then there are a host of other competitors, you know, who are by and large similarly priced. We are one of them. So I would say we would put ourselves at number three along with few others. Correct. So, you know, I don't think that pricing, picking order is going to change very significantly. What's going to change is that because, you know, we are going to offer a significantly higher range of products, our portfolio is increasing, our distribution breadth is increasing, we should be able to spark growth. So, you know, as I said in my speech, remarks earlier, that we are under-indexed on consumer luminaires. We are under-indexed on professional luminaires. So once we get our act together in these aspects of the business, that should give. It is not going to come by, you know, increasing our prices suddenly and trying to get, you know, because they are far ahead of us, Havells and Philips.
No, as a concluding, I would just like to comment that, you know, your distribution strategy is working because most of the retailers and distributors are now placing Everready's products, especially lighting, and they are pitching those products to the customers. So I just want to congratulate the management that you've done a good job in terms of ensuring that the distributors and retailers are pitching your products and showing the benefits to the customers. Especially in relation to your other highly priced competitors. Good job.
Thank you very much. I just thought I would clarify on that, you know, we are really sort of focusing on some of the under-indexed part of our business, which should provide us with further levers of growth as we go forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm audible. Sorry, last time my line was not audible. So my question is, have you spelled out segment-wise revenue and EBITDA in case I have missed out? For H1, it would be helpful.
Okay, so segment-wise revenue for the H1, batteries for us is a 456 crore, flashlight 108 crore, and lighting is 166 crore.
Flashlight is 108 and lighting is?
166.
And on the EBITDA side, sir?
EBITDA side, as a percentage you can take, the percentage for H1 will be 17.5 for the battery, 11.5 for the flashlight, and 2.5 for the lighting business.
Perfect. So now, sir, coming to battery segment, the industry dynamics clearly show that alkaline is gaining share with all the macro tailwinds with respect to the higher usage of the electronic products. And we are also gaining share. So in this, if you can highlight further, what different are we doing which is leading to such a strong market share gain? What I remember is a market leader in alkaline battery had launched a value battery which was at the same price of carbon then, so they could gain. What has been the steps taken by Everready to gain market share in alkaline batteries?
So, it's like this. First of all, I would just like to clarify that the value segment of alkaline is still at a premium of about 20% to the premium carbon zinc product. So, you know, the cornerstone for our strategy is that we are available in nearly 5 million outlets, whereas the value alkaline of the competitor, the so-called competitor, is available only in about 500,000 outlets. So that makes a difference, you know. So we go to every nook and corner of the country, whereas the alkaline has still not penetrated that deeply. Now, we still recognize that alkaline is something that is for, you know, the future, and we have to play in that area. So we have taken this kind of, you know, bold step of putting, you know, this manufacturing facility which we have talked about. And we are sort of ramped up our distribution to ensure that all alkaline friendly outlets get our coverage. So that is exactly where we are. We have not compromised on our distribution or the, you know, the placement of our carbon zinc product. So there is really no clash. There would be some little cannibalization here and there, but I don't think that is of any great significance. Where we have suffered this quarter and the half year is that the rural part of our business has gone down somewhat, which we are trying to see how to sort of recoup over the next two quarters.
Right. So carbon zinc decline in volumes is also to do with the flashlights segment underperforming. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, it is partly correct. While there are, you know, this, the rural part used to use a lot of these carbon zinc batteries for their flashlights. As they have moved into rechargeable flashlights, obviously they don't need the batteries. But there are other usages.
Got it. Now, coming to this whole battery segment, which is a market of 300 crore batteries, roughly sold at 10 rupees MRP. What would be this for the similar metric for alkaline industry?
Come again, what is this 300K?
So there are roughly around 3 billion batteries which are sold annually as an industry size, which is sold at an MRP of 10 rupees. So somewhere we come to a market size of 3,000 crores. What would be the same dynamics for alkaline batteries? How many units and what is the average selling price of an alkaline battery?
Okay, so first of all, let me... Okay, so you are talking of the company price of selling to the retailer, to the distributor.
Yes, you can say... Yes, correct.
Yeah, so first of all, the size of the volume-wise, the size of the carbon zinc battery is 3 billion pieces. Okay. And at a consumer level, it is about 3,000 crores, which is again that, you know, if you take a blended consumer price of about 10 to 12 rupees. These are all very rough numbers. The equivalent of alkaline, the value alkaline particularly, because it has a slight blend of also the premium alkaline, that would be higher. That would be something closer to... you know, the consumer level, it is 22 rupees, as I said, the value alkaline. If you look at the company price, it would be about 15, 16 rupees.
And what would be the volume demand in terms of annual sales?
You know, roughly, I would say that it would be roughly around 300 million against 3 billion. So volume-wise, it is still... about 10% of the total carbon zinc market. And 50% of that goes into OEMs and 50% to the retail market.
And OEM, you mean which industry, sir?
You know, it goes into usages like particularly one prominent one is electronic voting machines, the EVMs.
Okay. Got it. And sir, in terms of this industry size, which is around 450 crores, which for the value alkaline batteries, how do you see this? Sorry, sir.
You take the whole alkaline. I mean, that 450 crores is correct. It also comprises of a part which is the premium alkaline, which sells to the consumer at about 50 rupees.
Got it. So now, talking about the total alkaline industry segment of 450 crores, how do you see this evolving? Is this industry also growing at 30-40% where you would be growing because you have such a large distribution strength? You are growing 3x of the industry. How has been the growth? And any particular consumer segments which are witnessing a solid non-linear high demand growth coming for alkaline batteries?
So typically, alkaline battery, you know, is taken by two types of consumers. One is one who wants to buy higher priced products. You know, typically, you know, richer people who think that, you know, if the price is higher, it would mean that the product is better. And another segment of people who are a little more discerning, who take these batteries for higher drainage devices, like toys. Or camera. So these are the typically the types of consumers who take alkaline batteries, and they are obviously in tier 1, maximum tier 2 towns, but not below that. You know that people would be more sort of price conscious and would prefer carbon zinc batteries. And because some devices simply do not require the alkaline batteries, but if you look at the global market situation, most of the countries show heavy skew towards alkaline, because you know, as people become prosperous, they tend to go towards pricier versions of the product.
And on the industry growth, anything that is firing out according to you, or is it that your growth is far superior than the industry?
What you pointed out is right. Our growth, because we are just now coming off a smaller base, our growth is about 3 times the level of the market. So the market is growing at around 25%. We last quarter grew at 62%. So, you know, till we have sort of saturated ourselves a little bit more, I see that growth trend remaining similar.
Got it. Just last question again on, sorry to ask more on the alkaline battery, because that's the excitement. On the industry players, anything that we have seen in terms of market share gains, losses that you can comment with respect to number one player, number two, number three, four? I think the other few smaller players have also started becoming a bit aggressive in terms of their distribution and everything. So anything on the on the competitive landscape, if you can highlight.
So as you know, I'll just give you the landscape both for carbon zinc as well as alkaline, because we must not forget that the replacement market of carbon zinc battery is still about 94% of the total market. I mean, we must not forget that. Alkaline replacement market, if we ignore the OEM part, is about 6-7%. Right? Now, in the carbon zinc space, Eveready is obviously the market leader, holding something like 60% share. And our two competitors, significant competitors, are Nipco and Panasonic. On the alkaline, which is the 6-7% of the total battery market, and we are very excited about that market, just as much as you are excited about it, and which is the reason why we are putting up a plant, you know, when we are still very small. So in that market, Duracell is the big player, because they have been around for a long time. They have communicated, they have been around for 20 years, pushing alkaline day in, day out. So they are about 85% of that market, and we have just come to a stage of coming to just cross the double digit number. So we have a huge headroom to grow.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. And any other new player that you have found getting aggressive in alkaline battery other than...
No, so you know, sorry, I did not respond to that part. So Nipco and Panasonic also do a little bit of alkaline, but not significant yet. And no other other players, but there are a host of players who also play in the OEM part, you know, like supplying to EVMs and stuff like that.
But if I can squeeze in one last question on the gross margins, which the earlier participant was asking. So what has happened is over last 6 months, we have seen almost a 400 basis point of margin expansion, and I believe a maximum of it has come in the battery segment. And our key raw materials tends to be zinc and electrolyte manganese, which constituted almost 60% of the raw material. So anything that has gone significantly lower on the raw materials, or any price increase that we have taken on the battery side, or with the mix changing, our ASP has gone up, which leads to also a gross margin gain. So roughly, if you can help us track down the gross margin gains that we have seen in the last 6 months.
This is mostly on account of material margin. So there are very hardly any price change, because these are MRP driven markets. So this is mostly, that is why I was trying to explain to the earlier gentleman who has raised the point on the cost part. So this is mainly because you have rightly said the 60% of the component from the EMD and the zinc, and they are a little bit softer during the quarter, and that is why the gain has been flown there.
Okay, and so we did not.
Sorry to interrupt you, Priyank. Kindly come back in the question queue for a follow-up.
Sure, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Chirag from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions from my side. One is, what is there any update on the KKR arbitration case?
So the status remains the same. So there is no further update on the KKR thing. As we have said that in the past, that from the KKR it has moved to some other party called Incred, and from Incred it has now moved to some NBFC companies. So we are waiting for the next hearing.
Okay. Is it possible for you to give a bifurcation of flashlight revenue mix? Earlier it was around 65-35 battery operated and rechargeable. Has that changed drastically now?
You want the split of the flashlight revenues between the two segments? It is nearly 50-50 for the half year.
And what is our revenue from the alternate channels?
The alternate channel revenue for the quarter will be around
alternate channel or alkaline? What do you know? What is you ask? You wanted what?
Alternate channels.
So alternate basically constitute to 16% of the total revenue. So around 60 crores in the total mix.
Okay. Finally, sir, I wanted to have an update on the CapEx that we are planning for alkaline. Has the location for the project been planned?
So we have not yet finalized the exact location. We are sort of toying between two locations. I think we should be able to take a final decision on this. We are just trying to see, you know, which ecosystem serves us better. So we should be able to take a call by middle of December or thereabouts, a final decision. While, you know, our work on machine building, you know, and on many other parameters or other equipments has already started, and they are in fairly advanced stage of progress.
So generally, as you said earlier, that this project would take a year time after the location being planned. So can I say that in H2 FY26, this plant will commercialize and you can see revenue started coming in and the benefits due to cost saving of manufacturing can come into picture after H2 FY26?
Yeah, I think H2 would be a good, you know, target to take, because, you know, what you said is right. We did say that it will take 1 year from the time we settle on the land. But because we have now progressed quite significantly on the main part of the project, which is machine building, we feel that, you know, even if we decide by, say, by 15th of December, we should be able to go live latest by 1st of October.
And so just last one from my end, what would be the expected debt levels after the capex that we will do? Would it be around approximate about 480-500 crores levels?
So see, as of now, if you see, our debt levels are 456 crore and we are actually 256 crore and we are continuously reducing. So we are looking for around 150 crore debt for this project. So while the existing debt will be keep reducing as per normal repayment schedule, and there will be additional 150 crore added to that. So you can fairly see it will be a 400 crore at a peak.
Got it. So one last question, if I can squeeze in.
Carry on, please.
Just wanted a broad thought, like we are going to be the only manufacturer of alkaline battery after our capacity commercializes. Any scope that we would be doing some kind of white labeling for other players too?
That's a possibility. I mean, we do the same for even carbon zinc. So, of course, you know, the whole premise for the alkaline plant is to sell Eveready Ultima, not make private level business, but it is part and parcel of any business today. So, of course, we will be open to that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mithun Naswat from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just want to understand, obviously a competitor does not have a plant in India and has continued to grow. I remember in the last con call you mentioned that even if even after putting up the plant, your margins are not going to go higher in the alkaline segment. So I'm just trying to understand the viability of putting up a plant in India. Just wanted your thoughts on that and what sort of return on capital do you expect from that facility?
Okay, first of all, I think you might have misunderstood us. Again, the whole premise of putting up the plant is not only will it sort of spark growth in the this particular category, but also with the objective that it would improve our margins. But I would leave Vivek to answer to that and, you know, the return of capital.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, today our position is that we import the material from outside and there is a duty impact. Then the importer add a lot of profitability to that. So when we're manufacturing in India, definitely there will be a very substantial margin gain, especially on the alkaline B2C side. And that is an over objective. And of course, any investment has to have a proper IRR and ROI. So we have taken a fair chance of the very decent ROI, especially for this alkaline project.
Right. And just wanted to understand, still the, in the battery business also, are we seeing the same sort of kind of cannibalization which we saw on the flashlight? And hence the overall growth does not appear. In the flashlight as well, we saw the battery segment kind of regrow and the rechargeable flashlights are growing. Now even the battery segment is a much larger part of your business. And if you are saying that the carbon green business is a dying business, and the alkaline is where the growth is. But 93% of your business comes from carbon zinc. It's going to take a lot of time and effort for you to grow revenues. If we see over the last couple of years, despite your efforts, the revenues at the total company level have been quite flat. So I just want to understand, you know, you had very high aspirations of doubling your top line. I'm just trying to understand where are we in that trajectory. You're also looking at setting up looking at a new product line. I just want to understand where we are and do you see a lot more difficulty than what you saw maybe 18 months back?
Okay, so first of all, let us talk a little bit about the flashlight side. The flashlight side, it is quite clear that the battery operated one has been degrowing for some time. This company did not, for whatever good bad reason, I mean there is no point in going back to the history, did not enter this, and you know consumers were taking on to rechargeable flashlights. This company did not go enthusiastically into that. It is only in the last 2 years that the company decided that we need to play in that as well. So from a zero level contribution, today we have come to a stage where we are 50% from rechargeable flashlights into the overall turnover of flashlights. This half year and this quarter, we grew, as I mentioned, by about 16% and 7% respectively, and we hope that this will be maintained. The flashlights market has a play of a lot of unorganized players. We are also trying to take necessary, action to neutralize, because, you know, when there is an organized market where there is less bit of tax compliance, then less adherence to metrology rules, etc., it becomes a bit of a mixed bag. We are trying to also navigate that particular part. So flashlight, I think, is going to remain a growth driver for the company in the times to come. Now let us come to batteries. I must once again highlight that carbon zinc still for the whole Indian market is 94% of the market. right, where we hold 60% of the market. We are a small player in the 6% of the market, which is the alkaline market, and we have just become, you know, a 10% plus player in that area. But we identify that with growing prosperity, people will shift to alkaline, as it has happened in all other countries. So, you know, we have taken this preemptive step, if I may say, or let us say somewhat adventurous or say aggressive step of putting up a manufacturing facility that provides us with higher level of margin and gives us control on the production chain. So we would play in both, because there would be price sensitive consumers who would continue to, and they don't require the alkaline, because it will go into flashlights and wall clocks and stuff like that, which does not require alkaline. We will put alkaline into the hands of the people who can afford to pay higher price, and they may have higher drain devices, costlier devices, which require alkaline. So I think there can be peaceful coexistence. It has happened in most countries. But with growing affluence, people do tend to shift to alkaline, and then there is a cannibalization. Obviously, I mean, a battery is something that people need for their device. They can only use either an alkaline battery or a carbon zinc battery. Now, if you are using a carbon zinc battery and it replaces that with an alkaline battery, obviously there is no case for the carbon zinc battery. But I think, you know, India is still far away from that conversion. While there is very, very decent tailwinds behind the alkaline category at this point of time. So I don't think overall, see, this year the problem we have faced is nothing to do with alkaline cannibalizing carbon zinc. It has come because there has been very poor offtakes right through the half year from the rural part of our business where we have suffered, you know. So that is something that we are analyzing, why that took place, and you know, what are the countermeasures that we need to do. Is it just a temporary market problem, or is it something to do with us, or whatever. So that part is what we are focusing on. It has no reflection on the overall market.
So, but just wanted your thought on the carbon thin category. Would the market itself have declined in the first half?
Yes, it did. As I told you, it declined from the rural part of the market. We
right,
had a decline
right.
of about, you know,
maybe. I'm just trying to understand the trend. If there's
yeah.
a mixed number, do you see that even growing at low single digits, or do you see it being stagnant?
No, so, you know, if let us say alkaline maintains this growth, I think carbon zinc is going to grow at very low single digit. This year, it has degrown the first half, but it has come specifically from a geography which is unaffected by alkaline. So we are trying to, you know, sort of understand, you know, that particular phenomenon. One would have understood, let us say there is a lot of alkaline purchase in a particular area, and as a result carbon zinc has suffered. That has not. In fact, our premium carbon zinc batteries have grown. You know, they have actually kept a very decent pace. You know, the pace of growth varied between say 4% to 10%, which is very good for us because they are very profitable products. And they coexist with alkaline. The rural part doesn't coexist with alkaline, and that has where the degrowth has taken place. So this particular hypothesis is not applicable in the current year's case.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Radha from Gargi Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So my question was, can you please provide product-wise volume, value, and EBITDA number for this quarter?
So you know, battery, you can see that for the quarter, our revenue is 240 crore. Flashlight is 48 crore, and 85 crore is a lighting business. Okay. EBITDA percentage is 17.5% for batteries, 8% for flashlight, and 2% for the lighting business.
Volume, sir?
Volumes, you know, they are not sort of, you know, they are different types. In lighting, there are very many product SKUs which are not sort of, you know, you cannot count them and they make no sense by counting them.
For the battery segment, sir?
Battery segment, sir.
Sorry, madam. So for quarter two battery segment it is at 316 million.
And okay, flashlight
4.2 million.
So all right, thanks. Second question is that we have introduced some new products like siren torch, mosquito bats, calling bells, etc. So where are we capturing these products, under which product vertical?
So this mosquito bat is under the battery,
okay.
And siren is under the flashlight.
And calling bell, sir?
It will be part lighting, accessory business of the lighting, it could be.
Okay. The third question, sir, since there is a lot of correction in the prices in the LED market, so at what level of revenue can we reach break even on a PBT level?
We have maintained the annual level we showed you. We said, you know, 400 crore is a very good number to become a break even for organization, seeing the past trend. And last year we ended up at 310 crore. We are looking for how can we, this year actually year end we are targeting to make it break even. So 400 is a good level to do a business break even for lighting business.
And when do you plan to reach, when do you think we can reach 5% EBITDA margin?
So first, you know, we have to definitely cross the 400 crore benchmark, and then of course, if you keep that, I think, you know, the 5% would be, you know, between 500 to 600 crore company can easily target 5% plus EBITDA margin.
Alright, so just one last question. With current price, when do you think we can reach $100 million revenue in the LED business?
See, it is not only LED, it is the entire lighting portfolio, you know. So what the disturbance has happened, as you know, that industry, that every last 2 years, continuously 15 to 20% value erosions are happening. This period also, if you see, our lightings are flat despite a very healthy volume growth. Now, over a period of time, it is becoming very unpredictable. We have not anticipated that the severe value erosion will happen in this quarter. So if you see, at least, if you ask me at this current stage, we think it will take at least 4 to 5 years to reach to $100 million of revenue for lighting business.
All right, sir. Thanks and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyankar Sarkar from Square 64 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, our reach is close to 5 million outlets, I think, as you rightly mentioned in the call earlier. So, sir, why are we not using this superb distribution to launch newer products in newer categories? I mean, honestly, it has been more than 2.5 years since the new management has taken over. And so, why, when can we expect to enter, at least indicate to the street, you know, what is the fourth category that we will be targeting? I think the large part of the investor community is actually eagerly waiting to hear this from the management.
Okay, so Priyankar, it is like this. We are, last 2 years, we took a very bold initiative of changing our distribution. I mean, it may seem pretty sort of modest to an outsider, but it was a huge challenge internally because it involved the entire ecosystem, you know, of our selling personnel, distributors, channel partners, everybody. So we naturally face a lot of challenges and we have overcome, thankfully, all of that, and so we could not focus on these diversification efforts. Today, because things have now come under control, we are looking at, you know, adding adjacent products. We are looking at adding newer categories. We have already started that work. I think it will take us another maybe 2 quarters before we can meaningfully articulate on the same. But you would see a lot of adjacent products being added to our business.
Fair enough.
For example, you know, we have added these mosquito rackets. We have added a lot of accessory items in our lighting side. Similarly, you know, we would keep adding. We would shortly be out with, you know, power banks. So these are adjacent products. These cannot be treated as categories per se. They will add heft to our overall turnover, but we really need to also look at, as you very rightly said, a fourth or a fifth category, which we will be able to articulate in the course of the next 2 quarters.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. Good to hear that from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Priyank.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mehul Savla from RW Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon.
For the participant dropped, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and thank you for the opportunity. First, sir, a very small suggestion: if you could provide the revenue breakup between battery, flashlight, and the lightning in your press release or the opening in the press release part as a document, that would suffice a lot of our queries. And if you could give that number for H1 also, sir, what is the breakup between in percentage terms only between battery, flashlight, and the lightning? Sorry if you have given the number, pardon me for that.
Okay, Saket, we note your suggestion. It is a positive suggestion. We actually have been articulating these breakups in these calls, but we take your point that we can even articulate it in the press release that we give out. Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion.
Okay, sir. Can you give the breakup for the first half, sir?
Okay, sir, I'll give you that. So our batteries is 456 crores.
106 108 166.
Absolutely right.
Okay, and you are looking for closing the year for the lighting segment at 400 crore?
No, not really. I have not told. I think the point just came to me that where we can have the break even as an industry in the standards.
Right. So it is like this. We are currently at a break even level, but the previous person who asked the question say that what level you can see break even on a sustained basis, to which Vivek answered that it is 400 crores. He didn't say that this year we are attempting to go 400 crores, but for the historical fact we are break even, actually slightly positive even for the first half.
And you mentioned about the fact that H2 is generally softer than H1. So can you explain the key factors that attribute and which categories do generally soften out for H2?
So H1 has a seasonal pull in the flashlights business and to some extent in the rural part of the battery business, which did not happen this year. But the flashlights business did happen. And that generally gives a kind of a little bit of, you know, I would say 5, 6 or 10% skew to the first half turnover. Second half to that extent is little muted.
Okay. And sir, when we look at the finance cost, it is lower significantly, and congratulations to the team. Do we have any forex impact also in our numbers?
Not really.
Okay, so these are operational numbers and the savings will continue for the second half also.
So, you know, saving in the sense, if you see, we are continuously reducing the debt, right, and getting the interest, borrowing at a very cost-effective way. So that is why more and more we do the debt reduction, the interest cost will automatically come down.
And the second part, you mentioned that you finalizing the claim by middle of December, and when we will be drawing the money for the same?
Similarly, that point of time, because major things will be required for the machines and all, so probably mid of December onwards we'll start drawing the money.
Right. And lastly, sir, on the other expenses part, do that line item have any one-off, or are those variables in terms of the increased revenue?
So this is basically other expenses are basically advertisement, promotions, and all other expenses are there. So these are routine expenses are there.
Okay, because that has increased by 10% year on year also, and Q on Q.
Our commitment to advertisement is high. So, and out of 10, 7 crore absolute increase, we see 6 crore is increase in the advertisement only.
Okay, and lastly, sir, when we speak about RTM coming into play for H2, what can be the increase in margin or the incremental margin that are expected to flow into the P&L when RTM impact benefits will be fully absorbed?
See, RTM will help us to increase the revenue, which is the need for the hour, right? We are currently having a very decent margin. If you see quarter by quarter, yes, we are giving a decent margin, and of course the way we are doing material hedging. Now, of course, the margin may not improve much, but your absolute values will keep increasing as our revenues keep going up. And that is the focus first stage. And of course, that whatever will come from the efficiency, it will be coming in there. But more and more revenue will be giving us a very higher absolute value of the profitability, and may not to that extent margin, barring the efficiency factor.
And this route to market is the Bain Capital interesting that we have done earlier.
Yeah, they helped us formulating the plans, and so they were with us.
Thank you for all the elaborate answers, sir, and all the best to the team. Thank you.
Thank you, Saket.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mehul Savla from RW Queries. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, the line got cut earlier. And congratulations on a good, remarkable show in a tough market. Sir, I just wanted to check. I was not sure, but you mentioned that the capex is towards a multi-product facility. So just want to check, this multi-product will be within the alkaline category, or are there any other products also that might come up in that facility?
No, so basically this plant is for alkaline, but in order to make it more economically viable, we are also thinking of adding some other product lines. Those are not within alkaline. They could be others, like even the carbon zinc facility, because you know, the more you develop scale, you get more efficiency out of, you know, sort of, you know, with the normal stuff. So
okay, but it will be within batteries only, predominantly.
And also to flashlights.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Got it. So that was the only question. I think everything else is answered, and thanks and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, thank you everyone for taking time out to join us on this earnings call. I hope we have adequately answered all your questions. If you still have more queries, please reach out to our investor relations team and we will be happy to address those. Thank you once again and look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Everready Industries India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.